Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. You are about to hear a Kingdom Living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and His Kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So my subject is going to be Jesus, our burnt offering. Jesus, our burnt offering. You know, the Bible tells us about five main offerings. Now, those five offerings of the Old Testament can be summed up in the one offering of Jesus on the cross. We have the first one, the burnt offering, and then the grain offering. Then we have peace offering and sin offering. The fifth and the final one is the trespass offering. These five offerings are summed up in that one offering Jesus offered on the cross. But in the Old Testament, where we have these five offerings, we can look at the details of them in order to understand what Jesus did for us on the cross. Today we want to take first one, the burnt offering. And indeed, that is the first offering that is mentioned in the Bible. So we will go to the story of Cain and Abel. And as I said, it's a very common Sunday school story. But the question is, where is Jesus in the story of Cain and Abel? Because if you look at the story of Cain and Abel, you see that mankind went into trouble. You know, in the Bible, anytime human beings get into trouble, Jesus shows up. Cain and Abel, they were siblings. Some people think they are twins. Whichever way you think, is okay. The most important thing is that they came from Adam and Eve. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4 that in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. So it was Cain who decided, I'm going to offer something to God. And Abel also took a cue from his brother, and he brought of the firstborn of his flocks and their fat. The end of the story is that God accepted Abel's offering, did not accept Cain's burnt offering. And so Cain became very annoyed. I tell you, there are times that believers get annoyed at God. Because they think that they have done something that God should like. That is what Cain felt. Can you imagine that Cain was a farmer? He was tilling the ground. He broke his back and then he brought this produce to God, and God didn't like it. Now, There are many times that we get annoyed at God because we think that we have done a certain sacrifice that God should acknowledge. But it is really not every sacrifice that you make in your present life that God acknowledges. Human beings will acknowledge it and say how wonderful a Christian you are. But if your sacrifice doesn't have the understanding of Jesus' sacrifice, it is nothing before God. Because the difference between Abel's sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice is that Abel's sacrifice recognized the future where Jesus Christ was going to shed his blood for mankind. That is the meaning of Abel offered a sacrifice by faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So Abel heard something about Jesus going to offer his blood for us, and he exemplified it. In fact, he did a shadow form of it by offering the firstborn of his flock, shedding the blood and burning it as a burnt offering to God. Cain did not offer his sacrifice by faith. In other words, they didn't have Jesus Christ, the understanding of what Jesus Christ will do, undergirding or motivating his sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that God doesn't want our sacrifices, or in other words, our sacrifices can tend to compete with the one and the most important sacrifice that he salutes and recognizes. All other sacrifices that you make that eclipses the sacrifice of Jesus is without faith, and anything that is done without faith, it is sin. You may be like Cain, you may feel that I have tried, you may feel that I've sacrificed my life, but if it is eclipsing in your heart, in your mind, what Jesus Christ has done, so that you put your sacrifice for the church of the Lord before the sacrifice of Jesus in the presence of God, then God doesn't recognize your sacrifice no matter what. You can have a zeal for God, but it can be without knowledge. You can go about to establish your own righteousness and in the course of it not submit to the righteousness that is of the kingdom, which is of God, which is recognized in the kingdom of God and before the Most High God. Jesus and his sacrifice must be primary to us. As our burnt offering on the cross, when he was burning with our affliction, God was afflicting him with the fires of affliction on the cross. It was for us. And God doesn't want anything to cloud our perception and our focus on Jesus' sacrifice. Not your personal sacrifice at dawn. Not the one you did in the midnight. Not the one you do for the church. It is something that you should not put before the Lord. You should put what? Jesus and his sacrifice before the Lord. It doesn't mean you should not sacrifice for the church. It doesn't mean you should not sacrifice for God. It means that when you sacrifice like Cain did, It must be in faith, with the undergirding, with the background that Jesus sacrificed for us. And that is what must be primary to you, so that you don't strike your chest and feel puffed up and better than the other believer. But you will look at the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and you will see other believers just like you, because that burnt offering, that affliction it went through, was for all of us.
Hallelujah.
So look at how God corrected Cain. Where is Jesus in the story of Cain and Abel? Look at verse 7. God tells Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, Cain had not done well. Cain has sinned. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you shall rule over it.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, in the story of Cain, is the sin offering. In the Hebrew, the word that is translated sin in verse 7, sin lies at the door, shatter, is the same word in all of the Old Testament that is translated sin offering. I know in your Bible it reads like sin lies at the door. But the same word that was translated sin is the word that is translated sin offering. Do you know what God did for Cain? God took Jesus, the sin offering, and brought it close to Cain. In fact, he brought it to the doorstep of Cain. Because God had acknowledged that you haven't done well. He had not offered anything in faith. He is trying to help Cain by bringing him a sin offering, reminding him of Jesus Christ, so that Cain will do what? Take the sin offering, because God brought an animal to Cain, and he said that even the desire of the animal is for you. In other words, God was telling Cain that take Jesus and offer him, and you will be accepted. I accepted Abel because of his understanding of the sacrifice of Jesus. Now I bring you Jesus, because you have sinned. Jesus must show up at your doorstep, and his desire is for Cain that you, I won't run away. Take me, take the lamb and offer it. Rule over the lamb. Kill the lamb. But Cain refused Jesus.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to understand that Jesus Christ shows up anytime we fall short in the presence of God. He wants to be our burnt offering. Or I should say, He is our burnt offering. We must understand He has offered Himself. He has gone through afflictions for us. And we cannot let our own personal sacrifice overshadow it. Because maybe you haven't done a personal sacrifice before. If you do a personal sacrifice, you will always want to talk about it. Because you cut yourself and you feel it. You have lungs that you see all the time in your body. You know how it is affecting you. But he says, I don't let your sacrifice eclipse the sacrifice of my son for you. Because he was bent for you. Hallelujah. So little children, never forget what Jesus has done. In the story of Cain and Abel, we see the Lord Jesus showing up to help the offender, Cain. To help you and I. Let's jump quickly at Genesis chapter 8. We want to see another popular Sunday school story and see where Jesus is in it. Genesis chapter 8 verse 20. This is an excerpt from the story of Noah and God destroying the earth with water. After it all, the Bible says in verse 20, Genesis 8, that Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So after the flood, Noah built an altar and he takes every clean animal and every clean bird that is standing for the Lord Jesus as our burnt offering. And he offered it as burnt offerings on the altar. Verse 21, the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. God smelled something sweet. Something soothing. Then the Lord said in his heart, I want you to note where he said it. He said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Ladies and gentlemen, because Jesus is our burnt offering, when Noah was handing his clean animals, it was symbolic of Jesus and his offering himself as our burnt offering. And God, who had cursed the ground for man's sake, had to say to himself, I am not going to curse the ground again. He says, even when the imagination of man's heart is evil continue, I won't curse the ground. In other words, God was saying that although there is sin in the world, but because of the offering of Noah, the sacrifice of Jesus, even though there is evil in the world, I will not destroy it like I have done.
Now when you said that Noah yet was sure for you, said that Christ, or did not sure for you to have my entry, what you mean?
Over here we see the power of the blood of Jesus. That although man's heart will not change, yet God says that I won't do it again. He says, I will not destroy every living thing as I have done anymore. Because the blood of Jesus takes care of all the sin of mankind. Hallelujah. So justice has been served. And God cannot punish the earth again. Listen, little children, when you see earthquakes and hurricanes, and it is destroying human beings, I want you to know it is not the act of God. I know human beings will say the act of God. But you and I know from the story of Job, it's not the act of God. It was the devil that blew the wind. It was the devil that destroyed the children of Job using the natural things. God doesn't destroy any person, any nation because of the evil in that land anymore. In the book of Job, the Bible says that the fire of God fell. We know it's not the fire of God. We know the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the earthquakes that are destroying human beings, they are not the acts of God. They are the acts of the devil. God will not do that. Because of the Jesus being our burnt offering. Let me show you something in verse 22. Genesis 8:22. God says, I will never do it again. And he's continuing in the same breath. He says, oh, hallelujah, while the earth remains. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Hallelujah. God is talking about the effect of Jesus being our burnt offering on the earth. Because Jesus died 2,000 years ago as a burnt offering for us. God says, while the earth remains, there will be seed time. In other words, there will be time for planting your seeds. But look into your Bibles. You will see that he didn't say there will be harvest time. I said he didn't say there will be harvest time. He didn't say there will be a time for seed and there will be a time for harvest. He said there will be always a time for seeding. But every time is harvest time. I said every time is harvest time. Because of the offering of Jesus on the cross. Because Noah burnt clean animals and clean birds to God. God was happy with it. And so he said that you are going to harvest every time in your life. If you want to harvest today, because of what the seed of the woman, because of what Jesus, the main seed, has dying on the cross. The seed has died, and there is harvest time, all time. In an acceptable time, I have heard you. In the day of salvation, I have called you. Now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation. I get to assure you that because of Jesus, who planted himself as a seed 2,000 years ago, every time is this time. I came to tell somebody, don't look at your planting. I'm not saying don't plant. I said don't look at your planting. Look at the process that was planted. Look at the viable seed. The seed of the woman that died on the cross. And because of that, every time you call now, it's harvest time. Every time is harvest. Pastor is not saying don't sow seed. Pastor is not saying don't make a sacrifice. He said, don't look at what you sow. Look at what God sowed. And understand that big is sowing. Harvest is coming for you. There are many people struggling in here. Because they are looking at their own efforts. Cain looked at his own efforts. And God, you must accept my effort. But God says that no, take the sin offering. And fight. And you'll be accepted by me. I came to tell somebody who said that he's making that sowing in the world. That there is no sowing by the dying Jesus as our burnt offering upon the cross. As I end, I want you to understand something. In Genesis chapter 22, over there, God tells to Abraham that take your son, your only son whom you love, your only begotten son, and go to the land of Moriah. And over there, offer him as a burnt offering unto me. Abraham takes the son. He takes the knife. The Bible says he takes wood and set out. On the third day, he saw the mountains of Moriah and climbed. When he was going, Isaac asked him, my father, this is the son. I'm sure they were carrying fire like a torch. And he said, my father, this fire enters the wood. He said, where is the burnt offering? Abraham prophetically said, my son, God will provide himself. God will provide himself a lamb for his own sacrifice. They continued on. When he was about to kill Isaac, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, don't do it. Don't touch your son. You think you're a big sacrifice before me? Yes, I know you must make sacrifice. But burning Isaac is against me. I want to provide somebody whom when you offer is going to be a sweet aroma unto me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says that Abraham, he looked behind. Oh, hallelujah. He looked behind him. And he saw that there was a ram that was caught in his ticket. It was caught in the ticket by its horns. That lamb, that ram, that bull is the Lord Jesus, our burnt offering. Because your sacrifice is not enough. God has to give us something to sacrifice. God has to give us something to project before Him. Abraham bypassed Jesus. The ram was always there. I came to tell you. But Abraham did not see it. So he looked behind him only to see that, oh, there was a ram that I bypassed. And the beauty of it is that it was caught by its horns. It was not caught. You see, when the bush is catching animals, it cuts them by its wool.
Okay. What's
come on,
there?
Quickly. The wool, that is why they cleave them. Because if they go to the bush, the wool will let thorns catch them. If it was, this ram was caught by its wool, it will be lacerated. It will not be a clean animal to offer to God. It's caught by its power, its horns. It was a ram without blemish, without any scar. Abraham took it and offered it as a burnt offering. And the Bible says right afterwards, instead of his son, he says, I offer Jesus. Right afterwards, God called unto Abraham and said to him, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord. The first time God is swearing. Says Abraham, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply your seed. You haven't seen any of God's blessings yet. I came to tell you.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.